Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for our daily magazine show, As It Is, and other programs designed for English learners.
Hello, and welcome to As It Is, from VOA Learning English. I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. Today on the program, we report on the difficulty people in the U.S. and other countries are having in sending money to Somalia.
It's the only country that has experienced two famines in modern history.
Then we report on the confusion in Vietnam about the government's approach to gay marriage. The challenges for money transfer companies sending money to Somalia, and gay marriages in Vietnam, now legal, but not recognized by the government. We're on the radio, on the web, and we come to you on a podcast. We are wherever you are. We're the voice of America, and this is our daily program, As It Is. Somalis in the United States are now unable to send money back to Somalia. The final American bank that allowed for sending money there has stopped doing so. The small Merchants Bank of California was the last bank in the United States that worked with Somali American transfer companies. Those companies operate in the same way as the worldwide money transfer companies Western Union and MoneyGram. But they permit people to send money to rural areas of Somalia far from cities and towns. This month, however, Merchants Bank stopped helping the companies send money to Somalia. Anti-terror legislation had stopped most American banks from giving people a way to send money to Somalia. Experts say more than 1 million Somalis cannot feed themselves. Many Somalis depend on the money sent to them by their friends and family members in the United States and other countries to survive. Sunrise Community Bank in the U.S. and Barclays Bank in Britain have also closed their Somali transfer accounts. They were worried that the transfer companies were either working directly with terrorists or that the money being sent to Somalia was being given to terrorists. The United Nations and humanitarian workers warn that Merchants Bank's decision will hurt Somalia. The money transfer business there is huge. The United Nations and aid groups in Somalia use money transfers to pay their workers and to pay for projects in small villages and towns. Aid groups such as Oxfam and Adesso, a non-governmental organization, estimate that Somalis living outside the country send more than $1 billion home every year. Degan Ali leads the aid group Adesso. She says banks should continue to work with the money transfer companies.
We need an immediate solution, and what we propose is that there be an exception to the case of Somalia because it's the only country that has experienced two famines in modern history. It's a country where there's this active conflict and people are highly food insecure.
Somalia's government collapsed in 1991. Since then, hundreds of thousands of Somalis have been able to eat only because people living outside the country sent them money. Oxfam said in a statement that it has warned officials for the past few years about the severe effect on the country of banks refusing to work with the companies. It also said the end of the transfers will worsen Somalia's humanitarian crisis. An Oxfam spokesman told the Los Angeles Times newspaper that criminal gangs will now become involved with sending money into Somalia. You are listening to As It Is on the Voice of America. Thang Ai Linh is a Vietnamese woman who has been married to another woman for 14 years. In the past few months, she has seen an increase in the number of people in Vietnam putting photographs and stories from gay weddings on Facebook. Those pictures and stories are a big change for Vietnam. 15 years ago, Vietnamese officials banned gay marriage. The Law on Marriage and Family and other rulings let officials stop same-sex wedding ceremonies and force people to pay a fine of $24. Sometimes the officials acted because they opposed homosexuality. Others sought to be paid bribes to permit the ceremonies to continue. Thang Ai Linh says some officials stopped the weddings just because, in her words, they want to cause trouble for us. But on January 1, 2015, a new law removed criminal penalties for same-sex marriages. As Jim Tedder now reports, the law has made Vietnam a leader in protecting gay rights in Southeast Asia.
Many homosexual, bisexual, and transgendered Vietnamese believe officials will now no longer try to stop weddings for same-sex couples. However, the law also says the state does not recognize marriage between people of the same sex. The language has caused confusion for some gay Vietnamese. Nguyen Tan Phat operates a photography and design company with his boyfriend. He says he does not understand why the government would not recognize gay marriages if it does not ban them. What does that mean we can do? He says. It's really unclear. The new law also surprised many people because the governments of the nearby countries of Indonesia, Malaysia, and Singapore have not loosened restrictions on homosexuals. In contrast, government officials in Vietnam have approved celebrations and gatherings by large groups of homosexuals. And lawmakers have debated whether the government should recognize gay marriage. Observers say one reason Vietnam can consider the issue is because it is a communist country, and religious groups rarely influence lawmakers there. Religious groups are often the strongest opponents of same-sex marriage. Same-sex marriage supporters also say the issue of gay marriage does not threaten officials' hold on power the way other rights issues might. Chan Hak Tung is the director of the gay rights group ICS. Mr. Tung says almost every Vietnamese official he has spoken to now supports gay rights. Mr. Tung says the canceling of the gay marriage ban is just the latest sign of success. He says the change, in his words, sends a message to the public of the position of the government, that it is moving to more acceptance and tolerance of lesbians, gays, bisexuals, and transgendered people. He says the government is even asking organizations like his to attend sessions in which laws are written. He says the invitation gives ICS credibility as an interest group during the policy-making process. Mr. Tung adds that the growing support from parents, the media, and the public, in his words, creates pressure for the government to act. He says the issue of gay rights and legalization of same-sex marriage has been raised before, but nothing happened because there was no backup from society. Now that has changed. Like in the United States, Vietnam appears to be preparing for national legalization and recognition of same-sex marriages. I'm Jim Tedder.
And that's our program for today. I'm Christopher Cruz at the VOA Learning English headquarters in Washington.
Coming up, more programs designed for English learners. You can read and listen to our reports and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Environment and Science Report. Experts estimate that one out of every five fish sold was caught illegally. They say the illegal fishing market is worth $23.5 billion a year. It threatens food security and hurts the environment. Officials are using new observational technology to fight illegal fishing.
Hello to everybody. Thank you for taking the time to join us here in Harwell in the Operations Center to what we call Project Eyes on the Sea.
That is Tony Long. He leads the Ending Illegal Fishing Program for Pew Charitable Trust. The group created Project Eyes on the Seas, large three-dimensional images of a globe can be seen on a video that plays behind him.
It looks different to what you might expect because this globe only shows you the vessels that are coming into this system from a live automated information system, or AIS.
The screen shows there are 120,000 fishing boats that have AIS. They are required to have the technology. But those who are fishing illegally often turn it off. The technology does not tell observers when that happens. Project Eyes on the Seas combines satellite information with secret government records on every ship's past activities.
The same system as the fishing vessels use to predict where the fish are going to be, we can bring that environmental source into this data.
Mr. Long says that permits investigators to understand exactly where the fishing boats are operating. The Pew team gives the information it gathers to port officials to help them decide if they should take action against a ship. The Pacific Island nation of Palau was an early user of the technology. Palau has one of the richest fishing areas in the world and wants to protect it. Last year, it announced a plan to ban commercial fishing in a 630,000 square kilometer area. KB Sakuma is a special advisor to the president of Palau. He says Palau is trying to deal with a recent increase in illegal, unsupervised, and unreported fishing.
And it's come to a head in the last year or two where our southern island, in the evening, you can see on the horizon just dotted lights of these illegal fishermen that come into our waters, fill their holds with our fish, our resources, our food security.
Mr. Sakuma hopes the information from the project will help Palau fight fishing piracy. And that's the VOA Learning English Environment and Science Report. I'm Marcia James.